Tonight's shiur, Parshas Kisetze. Parsha begins with the inyan of Eishes Yifas Tor, Sivilachlacha Lacha Liisha. And Rashi says that Torah is speaking here about the Yetzer Hara. That if a person takes this woman, and the Torah allows you to take this woman, but in the end, he's going to hate her. As it says, ki tiyena li'ish tei nashim, achas ahuva v'achas snu'a. So it starts off, he takes the Eishes Yifas Tor. Next step is, he's going to hate her. And from that, the relationship is going to come, next step, a ben sorer u'moreh. Ki yeh li'ish ben sorer u'moreh, inenu shomea b'kol avi b'kol imo. He doesn't listen to his parents, v'yisruel sov lo yishma lehem. He's not going to listen to them. So the question is, why is it, in fact, that the ben sorer is not listening to his parents? So Rav Galinsky answers, he says, because the boy is going to turn to his father and says, excuse me, Abba, did you listen to your parents when you took the Eishes Yifas Tor? It says that this is a result of the man that first takes the Eishes Yifas Tor. He hates her and then has a Ben Sorah Mora. Well, you didn't listen to your parents because I don't think they were happy when you took an Eishes Yifas Tor. So what do you want from me? You didn't listen to your parents, so why should I listen to you? And then the father has nothing to say. We say in Kriyat Shema, "Vishinamtam levanecha vidvarta bam v'shiftecha beveisecha v'lechtecha v'derech v'shoch v'chov kumecha." So he says, the Chora, the Lashon's funny. It says, "Vishinamtam levanecha," you should speak to teach your children, your sons, and then it says, "Vidibarta bam." It should say, "Vidibru bam," talking about the sons. You should teach your sons, and then they will speak in these words that you're teaching them. Why does it say, and you should speak? No, I taught them, so they should speak. Not I'm teaching them and I'm going to speak. So he says that the condition to make sure that your kids are going to speak in them, speak the Dibrei Torah, is that you have to speak in them. If your kids see that you are learning Torah and you're learning B'shiftecha V'Veisech when you're sitting in your house and on the way and you're constantly involved in Torah, then you can hope that your children are going to listen and do the same. Therefore, teach your kids V'dibar Tabam, you speak in the words of the Torah, so that your kids will follow suit. Brings the Maisa, that was once a kid, and somebody asked him, is Torah a good thing? And the kid answered, yeah, the Torah is great, it's a wonderful thing. And then the kid was asked, "And what's is there anything better than learning Torah?" So the kid answered, "Yeah, Yerushalmi kugel and a pickle." So he said, "Yerushalmi, what? Why would you say that?" He says, "I don't know, because on Shabbos, my father, you know, he takes out the chumash, he starts testing me, you know, on a parsha Shavua. But as soon as the Yerushalmi kugel and pickle comes, all of a sudden he ignores me and he's." Kol kulo in the Yushami pillar. So Torah is good, but it's not as good as Yushami kol. He says once he was visiting Mexico in order to raise money for the Mostos Torah here, Rav Galinsky, and he came at a bad time. The time when there was a crash and the value of the currency there plummeted. And it was so bad, he said he didn't even make back the money for his flight, let alone to make some money for the institutions. But one thing he said, okay, at least I'm here, I can give these people chizuk. So there was one man who was very, very wealthy, and he went bankrupt because of the matzav. So he's very, very bitter. He was bitter to Kodesh Baruch Hu, al kedei kach, that he didn't go to shul anymore. So if Galinsky heard that, he said, fine, he's not going to go to shul, so I'm going to go to him. So he goes to the man, and first he, you know, tries to give him chizuk, and he says, listen, he tells him the chazal, the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that once he was with Eliyahu HaNavi, and they visited this very, very poor family, and they had just, their whole parnasa was from one cow, and they gave them milk and cheese, whatever, and that was that's how they survived. And when they came to visit, so they offered their guests, Rabbi Shimon Levi, the Rabbi Yehoshua, gave them some little bit of milk, a little bit of cheese, a minimum, something that they had. So fine, it was very nice of them. They went out of their way. And just as they're leaving, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi hears Eliyahu davening to Hashem and says to Ribono Shel Olam, kill their cow. And sure enough, they leave the house, and they hear a scream. What happened? Sure enough, the cow died. Eliyahu had asked. So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi was taken aback. He said, I can't believe this. He says, what did you do? Eliyahu, this poor couple, and they, not only poor couple, but such fine people, they went out of their way to give us what to eat and drink or whatever. They don't have anything. This is the thanks they get for their hospitality. You kill their only source of parnasa, their para, their cow. So Eliyahu Navi answered him. He says, you don't know the whole picture. He said, you should know. He says that it was a gzeir in Shemayim, for whatever reason, that this woman should die. But I davened to Hashem, I said, Hashem, have her rachmanis, don't kill this woman. Because, you know, they're so nice to us, whatever, hospitality. So instead, you know, kill their cow, don't kill the woman. So that's why I davened to Hashem, you should kill the cows, at least save the life of the woman. And that's what happened. So he said, they therefore returned to the Gvir, or former Gvir, whatever. And he said, listen, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have a very fine wife, you have very fine kids learning in yeshivas, whatever. He says, you lost your money, so be thankful that, okay, who knows, Hashem took your money instead of something that could have been much worse. You know, be thankful. So he said, it didn't hit home, it didn't register, he was still bitter. So he thought, okay, well, if that didn't work, I have to be a little bit more radical. And he said to the guy, okay, fine. I wasn't able to have an influence on you, but I just want to let you know that I do have an influence in the school where your kids go. And I'm going to go there and tell them that tomorrow they should send your kids home and kick them out of school. So he said, what? Kick my kids out of the school? That's not fair. What did they do? So he said, listen. He says, this school, they try to educate the children, so they should be, you know, upstanding, you know, B'nai Torah, keeping the Torah, mitzvahs, whatever. So if these kids, your kids, are going to, they have a father, he doesn't go to shul, he said, what chance do they have? They're going to end up going in and davening in shul. And they have a father who's bitter and have their tainas against the God, who has a tainas against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what chance do they have that they're going to grow up and be good yidden and not have tainas? So, you know, school wants to have proper people in their school. They're going to turn out good. Not, your kids aren't going to turn out good. So why should they be there? I'm going to tell them to send it home. So the man said, he says, you know, Rav Galinsky, he says, when I heard that you're coming to Mexico, he says, I knew you were going to somehow make me go back to shul. He said, I was just wondering how you're going to do it. Okay. In the Sedra, amongst the many mitzvahs, we have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayayimcha, if you find something, it should be with you. Adrash achicha also, vashivo solo v'chein taseh l'simla so. And it says that this is when you find a simla, it's like literally like a dress, a cloak, whatever, you have to return it. So the Gemara learns out that from the word simla, that you're only chayav to return something if the ba'alim were not mitcha'esh. They didn't give up hope. And therefore, if something doesn't have a siman on it, you can keep it because the ba'alim give up hope. Or even if it has a siman, but it's in a place where there's mostly goyim, also you can keep it. Why? Because a goy doesn't have a mitzvah of returning a lost object. And therefore, if you lose something in a place where it's mostly goyim, you have no chance of getting it back. If the place is mostly Jews, you can hope that a Jew is going to pick it up and get, you know, be mockeries, you can get it back. But in a place where there's goyim, probably some goy picked it up and goodbye. You know, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, that's how they hold. And you're never going to get it back. So a person gives up hope and leaves it in a place where there's mostly goyim. So he brings here a maisa. He says that he had, Rav Galinsky had a friend that also went through the war with him, you know, and he lost his whole family in the Holocaust, and also very, very bitter, and he was a broken man. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and had nobody, and he basically gave up hope of on his life. He said he can't go on anymore, and it meets Yesh on his life. So Rav Galinsky said, you know, why don't you come with me to the Chazon Ish? Maybe Chazon Ish will help give you some words of chizuk. So he said, what? Chazni is going to bring back my family, bring them back to life. He says, what was he going to do? He says, Bechosov's come, you never know, never know. Anyway, he convinced them. So they went to the Chazanish. Chazanish, you know, heard the story, what happened, this problem, you know, the difficulties this man's going through. So Chazanish said, here, sit down. He says, I see that, you know, you're Ben Yeshiva, you know, you learned a lesson. Let me tell you a Din Torah that happened once. I think it'll be interested to hear it. Okay, fine. So he said, what happened? There was once an Avreich, and there he learned full time, and his wife would support the family. She had they had like a little business. She used to take the money and go to shuk every now and then to the market and buy merchandise and then sell it for a little profit, and that's how they made ends meet. But so one day, the woman takes her wallet of money, which is all the money they had, and they're to take it to invest it and buy merchandise and sell. So what happens? She goes to the shuk, and all of a sudden she realizes that her wallet's gone. Must have dropped it or something. Her wallet's gone. So all her money, everything. That's it. What's she going to do now? And she was going crazy. So couldn't find the wallet anywhere. So she decides she's going to go to the Rav. Maybe the Rav of the town can help. So she goes to the Rav and says, you have to help me, you have to help me. He says, what's wrong? Tells him the story. So she says, maybe the Rav can announce if anybody found a wallet to come and bring it to you, and then, you know, somehow I can get my wallet back, maybe some, who knows, maybe. So the Rav said, fine. So he did that. He made an announcement if any found a wallet. Sure enough, what do you know? A Yid shows up, and happened to be a poor man. He comes to the Rav, and a woman happened to be there, and says, I found a wallet with the money in it. And the Rav says, oh, that's wonderful. So he says to the woman, do you have simanim? Do you have specific things about the wallet? You can see if it's yours. She says, of course, this, that. Okay, it's clear it was her wallet. So the Rav said, okay, Baruch Hashem, you know, found the wallet. So the man said, you know, Slicha Rav, you know, I learned a little bit in Cheder, and I learned Eilu Metzias, and it says in the, if I remember correctly, it says in the Gemara that if you find it something in a place where it's mostly Goyim, you can keep it. Because, you know, a person is Mitya Esh, gives up, like, you know, explain. So this is, we're living in a city, and mostly Goyim is in Hun, Chutzlaritz, in Europe, whatever, is mostly Goyim, and therefore, I think I can keep it, and you know I can really use the money. I have to have a daughter now, and I have to marry off, and I've got no money. This would mamish help me a lot. So he said to the Rav, "Listen, if the halacha is that I have to return, I'll return it. But if the halacha is that I can keep it, then I'm not interested in lifnei mishuras hadin to go beyond a little bit, be a nice guy in return. I'm just telling you that right now, Rav. If the ikar halacha is I can keep it, I'm sorry, but I'm just gonna have to keep the money. I need it." So the Rav was in, he didn't know what to do. Everybody here knew that it was this woman's wallet. That wasn't the shaila. You know, he gave some money. It was clearly her wallet with the money. And yet he got a point. He has a point there. The luchura. So the Chazanish turned to this Rav Galinsky and this his friend and said, so what do you have to say? What would you say? How would you paskin? So the man said, this poor woman, come on, she lost her money, he found the mom, you know, give her wallet back, you know. So Chazanish said, what happened? This Rav really didn't know what to do. He was really stuck. So he decided to go to a higher source. So he sent the shaila to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Rav of Kovna. And he was a big gadol. He said, see what he has to say. So he sends the shaila, and he gets the response. And he said, you know what he said? He answered, and he said that the man that found the wallet is Mechuyav Mikaradinj. He must return the wallet. Not just as a nice gesture, he has a chiyuv to return the wallet to the woman. So they were shocked. Galinsky says, chiyuv, okay, you want to be nice, but why is the chiyuv? He found it, it's mostly goyim, it's huge, why would he have to return? So he says, I'll tell you why, what he said. Rav Elchanan said the following. He said, it's true, a person's a miyayish, when he loses something, he was mostly goyim. He says, but this wallet, even though the woman had and she went to the thing, but it's not really the woman's money. Why? Because whatever a woman has belongs to her husband. Mashakansa ishakana bala. So really, whatever a woman has really belongs to their husband. Now, therefore, this because she was mitya eshet, she gave up hope, that's not play part of the picture over here. The husband has to give up hope. It's his money, not hers. So it doesn't help if she's mitya eshet. The husband has to be mitya eshet, and the husband didn't know about it. He didn't know she lost the wall and everything that happened to her. He didn't know. You'll say, yeah, but when he finds out about it later on, he's of course would have found out about it later. He would have also given up hope. Said, yeah, but we paskin like a bar, you shalom midas lo habiyush. Mele, it doesn't help. And it's he has a chiyuv. There's no yiyush over here because it's the husband that asked me, and he wasn't, and therefore he has to return the money. So they were like, just wow, what ganut, you know, what a gaon, like the thing, you know, it's unbelievable. Okay, very nice story. So the Chazan Ish said, and turned to this man, he said, you know, this story applies to you. That's why I'm telling you this story. So the man says, well, I didn't lose anything. You know, what? So he says, no, what's pshat? He says, you know, you're mitya esh. You're giving up hope in your life. He says, who gave you the right to be mitya esh? Just like the woman, she has no right to be mitya esh, not her money. So to you, you don't have a right to mitya esh. Why? You're not in charge of yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of you. It's not your body and your nothing. You don't own anything of you. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you, Hashem's the owner over here. What right do you have to be mitya esh? The woman has no right, not her money. You have no right to mitya esh either. So you can't. You have no right. You just have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and live your life as the Hashem sets the stage. And so, there's no room for Yush over here. So he says that this Avreich, he said, left the Chazon Ish, he says, V'Avreich yatsa misham adam acher. He left a different person. Almost changed his life. Brings here, there's the Gemara, in the Bracha Staf Yud, that's Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he was sick, and he was on his deathbed. So the Navi Yeshayahu came to visit him, and he said to Chizkiyahu, listen, you should say, give over your last will and testament, because that's it, you're dying. And he said, the Lashon was, ki meitata velo tichye. What is a double Lashon? And he said, meitata in this world, and lo tichye lo lam haba. You're going to die in this way, and you're not going to have a lam haba either. So he says, what? Well, what did I do so terrible to deserve this? So he says, because you didn't get married. You never got married. So he says, yeah, but there was a reason why I didn't get married. His Yo said, I had a Ruach HaKodesh. I saw in my Ruach HaKodesh that I was going to have give birth to children that were not good people. Not going to turn out good. One of them happened to be Menashe. But I saw this in Ruach HaKodesh. I didn't want to have children like that. So then if I didn't get married. So Yeshayahu answered him. He says, that's none of your business. He says, you have to do whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu commands, mitzvahs to do, you have to do it. You don't have to make cheshbonos. Oh, what's going to be it? Okay, you have a kid, it's bad, whatever. That's none of your business. You have to do what Hashem said. So Chizkiyahu says, okay, fine. I have an idea. Why don't you give me your daughter, and I'll marry her. And maybe in your schus and my schus, maybe I will have a kid. It's okay. So Yeshayahu said to him, sorry, nothing doing. For nigzer alech gzera. This is already gzera, nothing you can do about it. Finished, you're gone. So he said back to him, he said, listen, Ben Amotz, you know, that's his father's name, Yeshayahu Ben Amotz, he says, kale nevuat chavetze. He says, stop with your nevuas and get out of here. Why? He says, Kach mekublani mibeis aviyaba, I have a Kabbalah, afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavaro shel adam, al yivna asmo mina rachmi. No such thing, nigzera gzera. Even if there's a sword on a person's neck, there's no such thing as yush. You know, don't give up at all. So he says, what do you mean give up? It's no such thing, I'm not giving up. So Chizkiyahu then turned to the walls, Gemara says, and he davened, and the wall means from the walls of his heart. And what happened, sure enough, he lived another 15 years. 15 years, because he didn't give up hope. So you see the importance of not being mityesh. And there's a saying that goes on the pasuk in Dvarim. It says, "Vechalta et shlal oivecha." You'll eat the booty of your enemy. That oivecha is notrikon ein yush ba'olam klal. Oivecha ein yush ba'olam klal. This is like the first letter is Rashi Tevis. There's no such thing as yush. So he tells here a story that the yeshiva Navardak that was in Mezrich was suffering starvation. There was no food for the Bachar. So the Rosh Yeshiva was Gana Tzadik Rabbi David Bleicher, Zatzal, Shem Yimkom Damo. He used to go to all the villages all around in order to get some money together to buy some food so the boys should have something to eat, something, just to, shouldn't starve. So he was able to do so. And then a new worry came up, and that was Pesach. So he had to somehow get money and to get matzahs for the boys. So, meaning they could bake their own matzahs, but they had to get flour and matzah, for shmura, flour that was mishmura, and to make for matzah. So he went and this and that and did tremendous mesiras nefesh, and he was able to get a nice amount of flour for matzahs. And he put it in the attic of the yeshiva to play, keep it safe. That should be shamur from water, whatever. And fine. So the word got out, and the boys were so happy. Okay, we're not going to have too much bread now, but we're going to have a lot of matzahs at least. At least Pesach will have a gazita yontav. Okay, as with things would happen, there was a thunderstorm, and which turned into a hailstorm, and the hail broke in through the roof. And which meant the water started pouring into the roof, right on the kemach, the matzah. It's goodbye kemach for matzah. That was it. Became chametz, and that was the end of that. So they were all distraught. What's going to be? Because they get more matzah. It gets a fortune to buy in those days the flour, and they didn't have money. And when, what's going to be? Where are they going to have matzahs from? And this or that. And, so the Rosh Yeshiva saw that the boys were, as we said, being mityaesh, giving up hope over here. So the Rosh Yeshiva got up and he said, "Raboisai, I have four questions. Arba kushyos." Right? He says, "I have four questions. So I want you to answer to me." Question number one says, "Who commanded us to eat matzah and Pesach?" So everybody answered. Good. Second question. "Who helped me gather the flour for the matzahs that we had?" Kodesh Baruch Hu. Good. Question number three. "Who brought the hail that broke through the roof and it rained on the kemach?" Who did that? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Very good. Who caused the hail to break the roof? Kodesh Baruch Hu. "Who caused the rain to fall on it?" Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says, okay, so Hashem did everything, so what, he can't somehow arrange that I'll have money to have to buy more kemach to have for matzahs? Why not? Hashem did all that, he can do that too. Okay, in other words, don't give up, never give up hope, never know. So what happened? Erev Bedikas Chametz, the postman came and to the Rosh Yeshiva, handed him an envelope which was full of money, which was came in the mail, which is plenty to buy the kemach mahuder and a lot of it, in which they had the Bnei Yeshiva had for Pesach. He concludes, "Lamedcha she'ein yush v'olam kal." Never give up hope. No such thing. Okay. It says one of the mitzvahs we have in the Sedra is ki savo becherem reyecha v'chalta navim k'nafshecha savecha v'elkel yecha lo sitein. So there's a mitzvah that if somebody's working in your field, you have to let him eat while he's working. And when he stops working, when he stops, whatever, he's not allowed to. He has to put the, he cannot, as he's working, whilst he's working, he's allowed to eat. So the Chafetz Chaim learned a lesson from here. And that's as follows. He says that avadai we will mekabel schar for our hours that we are busy in fila and in learning, doing mitzvahs, etc. And whatever we do, Hashem's going to pay us for that. Fine. He says, but what about when we eat and when we sleep and things like that? Is that those are like nothing doing? We're not going to get anything for those times? So it's not necessarily so. He says, it all depends on our attitude when we do these things. Meaning, he pointed out this Gemara that says when a worker is working, he's allowed to eat. Fine. What happens when he finishes one field and then he's going to the next field over? Is he allowed to eat in between? Well, because while he's working, he said absolutely only then and only then he's allowed to eat. So let's say he's now crossing to the next field. While he's crossing over, is he allowed to eat? So the Gemara says yes. Why? He's not working at that time. He says, yeah, he's not working, but he is, since he's involved with he's osik in the working for the balabais right now, not walking his own thing to take a tiul, he's walking for the balabais. So since, even though he's not working, but the walking's for the balabais, so he can get to the next field and continue, so therefore that's considered as if he's working at that time. So Mela, he says, so too, that with our things that we do between our Torah and our mitzvahs, right, eating and sleeping, whatever. If it's all part of our work for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, then yeah, I'm eating, but I have to eat so I can continue and do more mitzvahs. I'm sleeping so I can be rest. I can learn more Torah, whatever. All the daily things I do, I'm doing it to be able to serve Hashem better or more or continue. So then that's all part of the work, which we're getting paid for. So therefore we're going to get schar, not only for the actual Torah mitzvahs, but also for the eating and the sleeping, if we have the right attitude that we're doing this for the balabais. I'm taking a break, I'm not learning now. Yeah, but I'm sleeping, but that's like between the fields. If it's I'm busy doing this for the balabais, then you get reward, you get paid for that also. So he brings an interesting chap from the Mishnah Brura. Said the Shulchan Aruch brings down Aruch Chaim Siman Lamed Ches says that people that are involved with writing filling in mezuzahs and selling them, they have a din of being osik in a mitzvah and they're pater from other mitzvahs that would bother their work. And that was, they're busy writing or whatever and selling these filling mezuzahs. So they are, if another mitzvah comes out at that time, they're patur. We have a rule, osik b'mitzvah, patur mitzvah. Okay, so what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, Mishnah Berurah brings the Magen Avraham, that even though they're making profit, they're working to, this is their parnasa. So what kind of a mitzvah is this? A mitzvah is something you do for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here they're selling these mezuzahs and that's for themselves, they're making money off it. So how can that be called a mitzvah that they're pater from other mitzvahs for? What do you mean mitzvah? They're pater. What kind of mitzvah is that? A mitzvah to make money? You know, they're just doing it for themselves. So he says that, well, it depends. Yes, if their kavanas are, you know, solely, right, we are just going to, I'm doing this to make money, stama, they can't say they're pater from other mitzvahs. However, if they're doing it, l'shem shemayim, you know, for Hashem, so then they are. So he concludes, and he says, though, that what happens if it's not cut and dry? In other words, it's both. So says the Mishnah Berurah in the end, that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. In other words, even though he's, you know, doing this for his own parnasa to make a living, but if his kavanah is also l'shem shemayim, so he says, that's also fine, he's pater from other mitzvahs. In other words, only if it's totally to make a living. But if you have in mind also, both things, also for the mitzvah, so then that's fine. So he says, we learn from here, and we have a big help over here. Why? Because he has to be on that madriga, that everything we do is solely for Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm eating, why? Only then I can have strength, or I don't care what, I'm not care how the food tastes like, whatever, I'm only doing this so I can serve Hashem. It's a madriga. No, we're not all in that madriga. I'm taking a nap, right? I'm taking this only for Hashem so I can have strength. Only for Hashem, but you're not getting any geschmack out of that nap. It's hard. So it's hard to be on that madriga. But we see from here that according to the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, we're lucky. Why? Because it doesn't have to be all or nothing. In other words, fine, you're enjoying that nap. But if you also have in mind, you're doing L'shem Shemayim, so then that's fine, that's called being also in a mitzvah. It doesn't have to be only the mitzvah. Ideally, that would be the great. That would be that's the ultimate level. But even if we have our own personal feelings there and enjoyment, it's also fine, and we also get schar. It's considered schar that we would actually be osik in a mitzvah and docha other mitzvahs. That's what we have to work on to mishtatev the l'shem shemayim in all our ways, and Bezrat Hashem, if we do so, Hashem will answer back, and we shall all be zocha to exceed with Sima Tova, Lanu L'chol Yisrael, and the Biyaz Gol Tzedek, Bimhir B'Yameinu.